Measures Radio Network, the voice of the 3%, is now on the air.
Guns, self-defense, survival, current events, and your future.
Can't take me.
We're rapidly approaching desperate times. Have you prepared your family physically, mentally, spiritually to face these times? Tyrant has overstepped his authority. What will you do when he comes to your door?
You can't take me, I'm free.
The Shooting Bench, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central.
It's easy to take liberty for granted when you've never had it taken from you.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man. And I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Mr. President, members of Congress, you've been making a lot of noise about taking our guns away. But you might want to review history. 1835, Gonzales, Texas Territory. The authorities wanted to confiscate the big gun that protected that colony. You know what the people said? Come and take it. Because they were willing to fight for their freedom and their guns. So are we.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you can.
Shot at a time. Just like Gonzales, we're keeping our guns.
Yeah, my only hope was Betty Lou. She was the one. A combination AK-57 Uzi Raider laser triple barrel double scoped heat seeking shotgun.
Nobody knew where he came from. They only knew he came in.
Uh-oh, here he comes again. Here's Cope with the Shooting Bench.
I still remember these words. Oh, it's plain that you're looking for trouble. Trouble's what I try to shun. If that's what you want, then that's what you'll get. 'Cause cowboy, we're both packing guns.
You know what's good for you. Stay tuned for 100% Gun Talk, coming up right now.
44 spoke, and he sent lead and smoke, 17 inches of flame. For the big one had never cleared leather, beaten before he could start. A little round hole had appeared on his shirt. The bullet went clear through his heart.
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. We advise that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
Okay, now we ought to be getting some sound. Okay, now we've got it. I see what happened. My little adapter here is bad on one side, so I changed that. It looks like we're working now. All right, thanks for letting me know. By the way, welcome once again to the Shooting Bench. It's the 25th of September. My, how time flies. Let me see who all we got in here. See, Aaron dropped in, and Doc, we got one anonymous. Rights at risk, Minnie, I know I hate it for you guys. You know, I know you find it boring sometimes when we talk about guns. It gets a little too technical every once in a while, but heck, glad to see you stay in there as long as you can. Drum Jaw is getting to be a pretty regular fixture now. I saw Dragon Medic in there a while ago. I don't know where he went. I think he's refreshing or something. Queso, Concretin. All right. Gauntlet, good to see you in there again. Okay, let's... by the way, Aaron, let's see. Aaron, we'll see what happens here. I may, if you got any of that wood left, I may try to come up there and give you a hand with it when we get up there. We may have a little bit of downtime. We're going to be hopping around there be pretty busy while we're out there. But we're still making plans for it. Everything's looking good. And for any of you guys that are within a reasonable driving distance of Lincoln, California, need to come out and join us for our Glock Armors class. And the disaster preparedness seminar at prices never ever before offered. So try to get in on this. This will help make up for a little bit of the gas money there if you have to drive a little extra far or something. Doc, I've noticed that here too, and I don't know if that's Doc says his firewood's a little more expensive this year. And I'm wondering if people are taking advantage of that, because the Farmer's Almanac and several other sources here are talking about how bad it's going to be this winter. And I wonder if the firewood market is doing just like they do with gas and ammunition and everything else, saying, okay, everybody knows it's going to be extra cold. Everybody's jumping out there and getting a firewood early and everything. I think I'll just jack that up here about $25, $50 a cord, and make a little extra money while the making's good. So, Peanut Rider, ever got an AK? Ever seen an AK get a cartridge stuck between the barrel and the operating rod? I don't believe so. I think that's a new one on me. I don't know if it's. I don't have any idea. It sounds like it's not a good thing though. Let me cruise back up here and see real quick. All right, I think we got all the questions going right now. Aaron, how lucky could you get? Unbelievable. Unbelievable that you got up three big old oak trees dumped in a yard just for the asking. Outstanding. All right. Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit about they just come out with a new survey here of what, remember back, it's been several months ago now, we talked about the best states for gun owners that there was. Well, they've changed their standards quite a bit, and they've come out with one now for the best concealed carry states. And they listed all 50 states and the District of Columbia for their friendliness towards concealed carry holders. And of course, as you would expect, I'm gonna try to get some guesses coming. Of course, I know you guys will all run do a search real quick and come up and be able to answer all my questions. So I'll just tell you the worst one out there according to the survey is Washington, D.C. It has come in at number 51. Drum Jaw, 1,900 miles in no hill for a climber, buddy. Come on out. It's not too bad at all. Hell, you like it out here anyway. You need to come out and find you a house. Mountain Shooter, let's see. Let's just go up the list here kind of quickly. We won't spend too much time. California rates and I was a little surprised at this, but California rates right at the very bottom of all the states. It's at number 50. Now, the standards that they used for this, let me back up here, and we're going to go through the standards to see. Oh, great. That was real sharp, you dummy. Let me fix that. I just made a big boo-boo here. Got to get that back where it's supposed to be. Well, I just did a great, wonderful thing here. So let me see if I can get this back. Here we go. Let me just start all over here. Leave it to me. Nobody in charge of me and nobody to watch and. I wound up screwing it all up here. So let's try this one more time. All right, it's coming up again. The standards they set were different. They added quite a few different, prerequisites there. And I'm pretty impressed. Matter of fact, I'm impresseder than hell at how they determined this. Now, in order to get the number of points... To determine the number of points here, the first was the method of issuance. That would be shall issue, may issue, no issue, or very restricted, or the best, of course, permitless or unrestricted, what they all call constitutional carry, would give a state 25 points. 20 points for shall issue, which means that they have no discretion over... whether or not you can have a permit, as long as you're legally legal to have one, legal to own a gun, then they can't deny you the permit. The may issue would be where the sheriff says, well, your hair is a little too long, and I don't like that tattoo on there, and you drive a Ford, so no, we're not going to give you a permit. And then they have the no issue or the restricted for 0 points. 5 points may issue, 20 points shall issue, 25 points constitutional carry. And they added reciprocity in there, and this is cool because part of what makes a state good or better than others is the fact that your permit is good in more states. If you got a permit from let's just say you're in California, they don't honor anybody's permit. If you're in Arizona, they honor everybody's. So, and then there's everything in between there. So the number of states honored by the issuing state, which would be the state, you know, that your permit is from, were all counted, and they were assigned a maximum of 10 points. And then the number of states where the issuing state's permit is honored – were counted and assigned a maximum of 10 points for that. So the two totals, of course, gives you 20 points. So if your state doesn't honor any states, it's 0 points. If it's 1 to 10 states, you get 2 points. 11 to 20 is 4. 21 to 30 is 6. 31 to 40 is 8. 41 to 50 is 10. The number of states where the issuing state's permit is honored, so where your permit is good, was all the same thing. 1 to 10, 2, and so on and so forth. Training time. They added everything. They thought about everything here. How much time does your state require for training to get your permit? So that was scored based on the minimum number of hours that statute requires for you. Maximum is 10. So if you have states with their constitutional carry, unrestricted carry, automatically gets the maximum number. 0 hours is 10 points. 1 to 3 hours, 9 points. 4 to 6 hours, 8 points. 7 to 9 hours, 7 points. 10 to 12 is 6. 13 to 15 is 5. And 16 plus is 0. Now think about all these things. Go over these things in your mind while we're going through the different states here. And I'm not going to spend, 10 minutes on every state. We're not going to spend all night on it, but a lot of it. How much did your application cost you? If it was, there's fees that were not scored based on renewal or out-of-state permits or all that. It's just for state permits. States with unrestricted, constitutional carry, again, earns the maximum number of points of 5. $0 to $9 is 5 points. 10 to 15, 4 points. 16 to 20, 3 points. 21 to 25, 2 points. 26 to 30, 1. And anything over 30 is 0. Now, that kicked out just about, I won't say everybody, but, man, that killed out. Bunch of them right there. Even Arizona, as many high points as it gets, it's still a $60 permit. So if it's anything over $30, Utah is more than that. Florida is more than that. New Mexico is more than that. I don't know of too many states that are less than $30. Idaho used to be $5. Indiana used to be pretty cheap. I'm not sure what they are now, but we'll check on that here in a little bit. Stand your ground and castle doctrine. Now, this is where Arizona really shines because we have both. Your scores are determined on the laws regarding self-defense and whether or not you're going to get sued, whether you are immune from civil prosecution or not in a self-defense situation. Oh, by the way, let me real quick. We talked here several months ago about the MMA fighter that was attacked by four guys in a home invasion, and he whooped three of them and killed one of them. Well, there's been an investigation and all that. They first let him off because they said he wasn't charged with anything because it was obviously self-defense, and they did an investigation, and it's all over with now, and they still didn't charge him. So that's good. He come out smelling like a rose. He defeated four armed bad guys there and didn't have to go to jail either. So that worked out perfectly. So, stand your ground, castle doctrine, maximum of 10 points. The best, when we did this survey before, the best states for gun owners of 2014, they even added this in there. This was back during the beginning of the year, determine how generally friendly a state is towards guns, period, outside of concealed carry options. If they ranked somewhere between 1 and 10, they get 10 points. If they rank between 11 and 20, is 8 points. 21 to 30 is 6 points. 31 to 40 is 4, and 41 to 50 is 2. The next thing they ask is the duty to inform. States rewarded points based on whether or not you have to inform a cop when you get stopped when you're carrying a gun. So here in Arizona, we are not required to do that. In New Mexico, you are if you're in public. So there's a little bit of question in New Mexico where your car is considered an extension of your home. Using that, I would say that while you're in your car, you're not required to tell them. But don't follow my advice. That's just how I responded to things. 5 points if you're not required to immediately inform a cop. 0 points if you are. There's no in between there. Preemption of home. Now, some states have what they call a preemption law, which means that state laws will preempt local, local or county laws from designing their own firearms laws. So that, like California, does not have preemption of any kind. Your laws can change literally from one county line to the next. You never have any idea if you're breaking the law or not. That's ridiculous. And the NRA fought hard for a long time to get all that squared away in some states, but some of them still won't go for it. But most of our western states, I don't know about all of them, I'm not sure about Washington and Oregon, but New Mexico, Arizona, Utah, I believe, Colorado has preemption except for Denver and Aurora area. They managed somehow to get out of it. But that's what your preemption means. So you have 5 points if you have preemption, 0 points if you don't. Then there's the whether or not a state issues non-resident permits or not. They added that into the mix. You get points. You get 5 points if they're issued on a shall issue basis. And they should have added another one here for constitutional carry, because Arizona has constitutional carry for anybody, including non-residents. Wyoming has constitutional carry for residents only. So if you're a non-resident, you have to get a permit. So they should have added one more on here, but the permits are issued on a shall issue basis for 5 points. May issue basis for 2 points, and if they're not issued to non-residents at all, then 0 points. Hang on just a second. So that's all the things that we have to go by here. So I've already told you about D.C. Now D.C. has their, they got some recent court decisions there have opened the door for concealed carry, but they are extremely restrictive. You really do have to show a reason, and self-defense or living in a bad part of town is not it. That's not one of the reasons. So that's they got a total of all the points that they could have gotten. DC got 2, and the only reason they got 2 because they're on the they were as low down as you could get on the best states of gun owners for 2014. That was the only points that they got. They got a 0 for everything across the board. California did a little bit better. On the issuance, they got 5 points, reciprocity 6. Anyway, they had a total of 24 points. And they are a may issue state, so you get one automatically just because you're a nice guy. Or even not a nice guy. In some counties, their permits are, they say, issued frequently, while in other areas, if you get up Northern California, it seems to be a little easier than most of them in the southern part. And it's not carved in stone, but that seems to be kind of a standard there. Permits in San Diego cost $46.50 a year, and you're limited to carry up to 3 specific guns, and they all have to be qualified at the sheriff's range. California permits are honored in several other states, although California honors none. So they didn't fare too well. Number 49 was Hawaii. Now, I'm a little surprised that Hawaii rated higher than California, although They do have, they had the 5 points for the permit issue. It is a May issue state. And 6 points for reciprocity, zero for training time, for a total of 26. So they're not too friendly over there. But one thing that saved them, though, permits are not issued very often, but when they are, they only cost $10. It's just that hardly anybody has one because they just refuse to do it. They're valid for 1 year, and they don't recognize any other permits from any other state. So that's where, you know, it gained a little bit. New Jersey. Somebody asked about New Jersey a while ago. Number 48. We have, let's see. Applications are made to the chief of police. They have to be approved by the Superior Court judge. And the cost of the permit, $10 a year. Of everything else they've got going wrong, they got a total of 26 points. They tied with Hawaii for points. But $10. I would have thought it would have been like $350 or something like that. It's crazy. But anyway, we'll look at a few more of these here. We're going to go take a break right now, and I'll be shortly back. Let me see here. I got to put something. I got to get some new stuff up here. This stuff's getting old and musty and dirty and all that. So, give me just a second to move that. I think what I'll do. There's my gun thing. I'm going to stick it down here because we haven't played it for a while. All right. Now we're in like Flint.
And all you can do is laugh at her. Doesn't anybody know how to pray? Arizona, take off your rainbow shades. Arizona, have another look at the world on
criminals prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
I had to chuckle because then I noticed he had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me, it is clearly an instrument of peace and of liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
Gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights, and considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. There are a few rights that man is born with, and it has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us, and the protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They have been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed. Without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper.
Remember real clear years ago in the swamps of South Georgia, cane pole and crossman in my hands, all I needed to be growed up. Homemade ice cream and barbecue and the family on Friday nights. 10-lane Ram on Saturday right before the morning light. Came a time I was old enough and I learned about the gun. And every night at supper time I answered to what I'd done. The tool that keeps all men free.
We have a message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be, from whatever country, whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to. Please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you. And some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
Stopped to make their play, and the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather, for a bullet fairly ripped, and the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip, big iron on his hip.
All right, we're back. I was looking at the chat room. There was a couple of things. Let me get back onto the right cotton picking screen here. Something about a cord of wood up here. Oh yeah, yeah, that's 4x4x8. Whether it's tightly packed or what, 4x4x8, that's a cord anywhere you go. Now, if some a good honest wood dealer that will be tightly stacked. You betcha, it should be. But some of them will take advantage of that. The bigger it's split, usually the harder it is to get a full cord. But if it's split in smaller pieces where you can pack it in there tighter, smaller pieces don't last as long. You get more wood, but it don't last as long. So it all works out about the same. But there was something, I know what it was. Aaron, you asked about other states that honor California's permits. You said you weren't aware that there's any reciprocity. There's a difference between someone honoring one state's permits and having reciprocity. Just because another state will honor California doesn't mean that California honors that state. There is no reciprocity. Arizona honors California's permits, but California does not honor Arizona, so there is no reciprocity. So that's how that works. Let me cruise down through here and see. You know, Drum Jaw, I don't envy you a damn bit, buddy. I would not want to have your job in that town. I think you should do what you said there and make arrangements to buy a little place here in Arizona and come on down. It's more better here than where you're at, a lot. We like it very good. Or very well, I should say, I guess. Aaron, you can go to, there's several places you can go. Drum Jaw, if you need some help, let me know, buddy. There are several places you can go, Aaron. One of the best ones, probably the best, it's become a little bit harder to navigate on, and I hate that, but it's been a really good site, and that is handgunlaw.us. And it like I said, they have problems every once in a while with bandwidth and everything. I know one of the guys, I don't know him very well, I've met him, I don't know who he is, one of the guys that owns that and runs it. And they keep it up to date, they're very, very diligent in keeping it current and accurate. And one of the things that they do on every state, there are links there to go to the statute pages of each individual state. So if you don't understand, so they make it pretty easy to understand, actually. It's easier to understand there than it is the statute. But if you want to double check it, there's hot links there to go and check different statutes that it has for, restaurant carry, where they carry alcohol, where you can carry loaded or not, and all that kind of stuff. But Drum Jaw, you beat me to it. I can't think of a single thing, not even one small thing, even if I use a considerable amount of imagination and be generous and respectful. I can't find one thing about Mississippi that's better than Arizona. It's even harder to spell. Well, not really. Okay, let's get back over here to our deal. It's too hot, too humid, too many snakes, too many chiggers, too many ticks, too much water, too much mud, can't see far enough, deer are too little. What else? I guess they got some pretty women down there, I guess, but that's about the only thing I can say. All right, New Jersey, number 48, we got that one. Maryland, number 47, ranks at 30 points. You've got 16 hours of instruction, yeah, plus 8 additional hours in order to renew every 2 years, and Maryland doesn't recognize permits of any other state, much like California. New York at number 46, that's kind of surprising, but they don't make things easy for you there. The state mandates a fee there that only works out to about $2 a year. The New York City permit costs $340 annually. New York City permit, not the state. State law mandates a fee which works out to about $2 a year. New York City permits are $340 a year. You pay $340 a year to exercise a constitutional right there. They don't recognize anybody else's permits, but there are 21 other states that will recognize New York's permits. Massachusetts, number 45, also a little surprising, 35 points altogether. They don't say how much the permit is. You do have to have some training and all of that, so that knocks them down a little bit. Delaware at 44, number 44, 36 points, $20 a year for their permit. They have decent reciprocity as mid-Atlantic states go. They have good, strong self-defense laws there. State preemption makes it a halfway decent state to carry in. If you got a record and not, they do have a. It's a May issue state. You have to be a reputable citizen, it says, to get a permit there. Connecticut at number 43 and 38 points altogether. A permit is required in Connecticut to carry a handgun anywhere outside your home, to include your yard where you live, the yard around your house. You have to have a permit. Excuse me? I must have misunderstood that. I thought you said, yeah, I had to have a permit to carry in my yard on my property. I did. That is what I said. You have to first obtain a local permit. And once you get your local permit, then you have to petition the state for a permit to carry pistols and revolvers. Permits are, of course, issued on a May issue basis, but are considered easier to get than some of the states around it there. I don't think that's cool. Illinois, number 42. I think it was one of them said there a while ago that it was all zeros. No, actually, the permit issuance is at number 20. Zero on reciprocity training time application fees. Castle Doctrine gives it a 9. Best states of gun owners, a number 2. Well, just like most of the states we've done so far. Dirty duty to inform, 5. Preemption, 5. And total of 41 points. A little surprising, but permits cost $150, valid for 5 years. Non-resident permits, $300. 16-hour training class. But Illinois does have some pretty good self-defense laws. It's strangely enough, I was surprised at how well they did when they were finally forced to get their law in place. It's considering, you know, when you compare it to Arizona or New Mexico or anywhere else, it's pretty restrictive and pretty ridiculous. But still, compared to what it was just a year ago, I think they've come a long ways. And, you know, people like to gripe a lot, and they say, well, it could be this, and it could be that. Well, I want to remind you of a few things here. Wyoming was pretty good to begin with, but their concealed carry was lacking a little bit. And all of a sudden, legislature went in session, they come out, and it was constitutional carry. New Mexico. That went through. Now, this doesn't happen just because the legislators feel like doing it, guys. If you're going to sit around and gripe and not get out there and help, then you can't really expect to see a lot of changes. You need to get petitions out there. You need to get out there and go to your join some of these groups like Cal Guns if you're out in California, or Arizona Citizens Defense League, if you're here in Arizona, and something like that. And put a few dollars into it, get your voice into it, put some effort into it, and you can get changes made. Now, I want to tell you what, New Mexico had changes every 2 years. Every time the legislature went in session, we got, will you stop making all that cotton picking noise? Jeez, old Pete, get over it already, would you? Let me turn this sound off here. There we go. Okay, that's better. New Mexico changed from now. What they still have there is you can carry concealed unloaded without a permit. It's almost like constitutional carry. And what good is that? Carry it unloaded. Folks, I'm going to tell you what. I don't know about y'all, but I can get a magazine out of my pocket and get that gun charged a whole lot faster than I can run out to the truck and dig one out from under the seat. that it's not that bad. It's not good, but I would a whole lot rather have that than be in a may issue state and have all these other restrictions. But so they still have that if you don't want to get a permit. If you get a permit, now they've changed it for, it used to be that you couldn't carry in an alcohol place that served alcohol in any description, sold it or served it. And then they changed it where you could go in package stores. You can go in Walmart or wherever, as long as they didn't have it by the drink. Then they changed it where you could go into places that had a beer and wine license, but not a full liquor license. And they just changed things pretty rapidly there over about, 4 years probably. They really changed a lot of stuff. So just because your state right now doesn't have everything that you want, keep working, because it really doesn't take that long to change. You just have to get the right people's attention and explain to them nicely and professionally that, how to, you know, what the thing, why you need these things changed, why it is safe, why it is beneficial to the people and all that kind of stuff. So don't complain too much if you don't have every single thing that you want. The drum job, we can probably find something for you to do out there. We can put you sweeping floors, or actually we're going to need to get some firewood up here pretty quick and stuff. I might even put you on the range out there with me. 007, unfortunately, your definition is not the same everywhere. What's really going to matter is what the state's definition is. It may even keep you from getting a felony at some point. But in Utah, for instance, unloaded means, one, that you do not have a loaded round in the firing position on the weapon. And so on a revolver, that would be the one that is in line with the barrel as you're carrying the gun. Now, we all know when you cock the hammer, that's going to change. So you can't have one in the one that's right under the hammer at the time. You also can't have one in the next position. So you can't have one in the firing position, and it's required that you have, that it takes two mechanical movements to get the gun to fire. So if it's a double action revolver, there has to be two chambers empty. The one that's under the hammer, and the next one as you cock it. Otherwise, you could just cock the hammer and pull the trigger. That's two mechanical movements, but you still have one under the hammer. So, on a 1911, taking the safety off and pulling the trigger is two mechanical movements, but because it is one fluid and very fast movement, they got you by making sure that you do not have one in the chamber. So all semi-automatics, if the chamber is empty, you're unloaded in Utah. Magazine can be in the gun. If the chamber is empty, it's unloaded. Revolvers is a different story. Single-action revolvers, you only have to have the one that's under the hammer empty, just like old cowboy days. But that means you cock the hammer to bring the next round up, pull the trigger. That's two mechanical movements. So, 007, New Mexico has no such law unless they put that in place since I left. There is no such law that describes loaded or unloaded in New Mexico. In Utah, it's two mechanical actions and not having one under the hammer. Oh, I see. Now you put the question mark up here. No, New Mexico has never ruled on two things that make things a little bit difficult. One is what is considered loaded or unloaded, and two, what is considered concealed. To the average, normal, partially educated adult, concealed means you can't see it. But some states will say, yeah, we can't see it, but we see that perfectly outlined bulge on your hip there, and we know that's a gun, so it's not concealed enough. New Mexico has not ruled that yet. They don't have any way. So if a cop wanted to be a real anal orifice there, he could, his case could be, well, you know, it's concealed, but I can tell you're going to have to convince the court, since there is no law that says one way or the other. You're going to have to convince them that, well, it doesn't say, so, you know, it's covered up. That's all that matters. So they need to define that. Whichever way they go with it, they need to rule on that. The Attorney General needs to say, okay, if it's covered up and you can't see it, you know, that's fine. Or if it prints enough that we can tell it's a gun, that's not okay. So, but either way, they need to rule on it. And I think it would make things better for gun owners or concealed carry holders in New Mexico. And what is loaded and what is unloaded? Now, I'm not recommending that everybody do this, 007, since you're in New Mexico. But I would, and I did, before they changed the laws around a little bit, I would carry it with the magazine in there and the chamber empty. Now, the thing about it is, in New Mexico, even if you get caught with a loaded gun concealed without a permit, it's a petty misdemeanor. It means next to nothing. It's like $35 and means nothing. A gauntlet, that's good. Illinois' law says concealed or mostly concealed. That's excellent. Now, Arizona used to say that if you could see any part of the gun or holster, then it was not concealed. But they have changed all that now, and it doesn't say that anymore. They have no definition for it, really. But anyways, when you go to state, you're going to have to... These are the little things that you need to check on to make sure you don't inadvertently commit a felony in some states. So always double check the laws before you go and mess up there. Now, here we are again. We're just about up to the break again here. What's Aaron's amazing the difference between? It is so much different, Aaron, and people don't understand how the littlest thing can be a felony. In Farmington, I mean, in New Mexico, anywhere in New Mexico, if you get caught carrying in a liquor establishment with a full liquor license, concealed or otherwise, loaded or not, the gun can be disassembled and put in a baggie. If it can be assembled and made ready, able to fire, it's a fourth degree felony. If you carry in a school, it's a fourth degree felony. All you have to have is a permit in Utah, and you can carry in a school. You can carry in Colorado, you can go in the bar as long as you don't drink. In Utah, you can go in a bar and you can drink, as long as you don't get over 0.08 blood alcohol content. In Arizona, you can go in a bar, you can't drink, as long as they don't have, if you have a permit, and they don't have a sign. If they don't have a sign, and you have a permit, you can go in there, but you just can't drink. So all of these little things, you can't just take off and go, okay, we're going to run over to, we're going to run across the state line here to California from Nevada, and we're just going to go there and shoot a little bit and maybe have a few beers afterwards. In some places, that having that few beers, having an open container in the truck enhances the charge enough in some places that makes it a felony. So you're going to have to, sure enough, check and see everything that you do here. I have to agree with 007. You stand your ground, Aaron, as long as you don't leave your property. There's just so many things there that if you get anywhere else and get caught, it's just not going to be a good thing. But when the war is over, Yes, sir. There'll be lots of stories to tell. There ain't no doubt about it. It'll be a good time to be had by all. We just got to get through that time there. All right. We got to swing over here and have us another break. And I shall return.
Nobody dared to meet him in an open press debate. He was nominated by the folks from every state. Yes, a monkey was the president, though maybe not the first.
But we have to stop looking for salvation in this system. The system is not going to fix itself. If the system is restored, it will be restored with the hammer of patriotism smacking this system out between the anvil of freedom and teaching this system that there is a shape we wanted to maintain, and that we have the forge of rage, and we will put that system in that forge of rage, and we will use that hammer of liberty and pound it against the anvil of freedom until it returns to the shape we want it to be in.
I just hate stupid people.
Now you listen to me.
Who the hell are you?
You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Join me in the Tinker's Shop Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's a chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in running command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, the Just Measure Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Coke Reynolds, inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. The Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things guns. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail. Tonight you'll be in the pot. Gun Boogie draws a bead so fine. Look out, big boy, he's loaded all the time.
The Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time right here on Just Measures Radio Network.
I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, big iron.
Okay, we're back. Welcome to the shooting bench, by the way. 007, the reason for the extra poop is because that's a 40 caliber case. I mean, for all practical purposes, it's a 40 caliber case neck down to 9 millimeter. So that's where the extra juice comes from. But if you take a 9 millimeter plus P plus, you're scaring the hell out of 357 SIG ballistics. It is so close. It's a 357 SIG is a solution to a non-existent problem. That's the perfect answer to a question that nobody asked to start with. The only thing I can say that I would probably find very appealing about the 357 SIG is in a Glock. It would be a great whitetail gun or something like that. But, you know, it's... The 40 caliber makes a good whitetail gun. Hell, a 9 millimeter makes a good whitetail gun. The 9 millimeter with new ammunition is nothing to laugh at. It's a great, great cartridge. I have no problem whatsoever. As a matter of fact, I happen to be wearing one at this very moment. There was something else up here a while ago. Gauntlet. It's probably not a bad idea. Over extended shooting periods to have the conversion barrel, but give it a try sometime. Just take and put 40 caliber ammunition in your magazine and shoot it through your 10 millimeter barrel. I think you'll find that it will perform flawlessly. Accuracy is good, reliability is as good as anything. Over a period of time, whether or not that would change, I don't know, but it'll work just fine the way it is. We've done it several times. It works fine. All right, let's go back over here and look at a few more of these while we're messing around here. Let's see. Gauntlet's got a 9mm barrel. That 9x25 Dillon is an interesting cartridge if you reload. All right, let's go back over here again. Let's see. We just got done with Illinois. Number 41 is Ohio. 12-hour training class. $13.40 a year are the permit fees. So Ohio is not bad. They had, altogether, they have total points of 58. They've got numbers on all of them except the duty to inform. They've got a zero, and non-residence is a zero. Number 40 is New Mexico. Now, that kind of surprises me. I'm a little sad. They've got 59 points, 20 points for the, or, yeah, 59 altogether. 20 points for permit issue and 14 points for reciprocity. New Mexico dropped quite a few states, just like Nevada did. They kind of cleaned house a little bit. They dropped Utah. They dropped Florida. They dropped Arizona, actually, but they put it back in place for the time being. It's subject to be dropped at any time, though. Again, application fee is a number one. Castle Doctrine 5, because there's not anything. That's one thing about New Mexico. They have no Castle Doctrine, no stand your ground law, and that's bad. The duty to inform 5, and preemption is 5. So non-residence is non-existent. You can't do that there. The it's 60. Let's see. I don't remember what it was. Now, I think it was $100. I don't remember. 007 might remember there, but I think it was $100. And then it's $50 for a renewal. You have to do a refresher class after 2 years. You have to do a renewal class after 4 years. So what you pay for the class is not regulated by the state. It can be whatever the instructor wants it to be. So you just shop around a little bit and find the best instructor you can find for the best price, which we're gone now, so it's a little harder. No, just kidding. There's lots of good instructors out there. Rhode Island, better than New Mexico. Can you believe that? They got 60 points altogether, $10 fee per year, shall issue permits issued through the Attorney General to qualified residents and non-residents alike. So Rhode Island's not bad. That surprised the heck out of me. Oregon better than New Mexico? Wow. Oregon comes in at number 38 with 61 points. Firearm preemption statutes on the book, so the CCW laws apply equally in town or out in the woods or wherever. Their training standards can be anything from a hunter safety course, any of the NRA handgun classes, so training time is pretty minimal there. Number 37 is Arkansas. Fees are higher than average, $28.30 annually. I don't think that's higher. That does keep them just under that $30 threshold, though. Individuals carrying a firearm in Arkansas have a duty to inform law enforcement officers that they are armed, and the state does not issue permits to non-residents. So, Maine at number 36. Those in Maine with Maine permits can carry in 23 other states. On the bright side, the only locations generally prohibited for carrying in Maine are schools. That's good. The available age for Maine, now this is the reason why they're not recognized in as many other states, is because you can get a permit at 18 years old. So that means your permit would not be good in Arizona. It will not be good in New Mexico. It's not good in several other states that require that one be 21 years old to get a permit. But there's still a bargain at $10 a year. And it's a shall issue state, but statute does allow for denial of a permit based on non-criminal activity such as reckless or negligent behavior and things like that. Reciprocity is not great. 35 is Nebraska, 64 points. It is fees are $20 a year, no non-resident permits, and laws preemptive except in Omaha and Lincoln, a couple other places there, but there is also a duty to inform law enforcement, which I vehemently disagree with. Louisiana comes in at 34 with 66 points. Louisiana's got a pretty good deal there. Even though New Orleans, they say, one of the most violent cities in the country, Louisiana does allow its citizens as well as permit holders from other states to go armed there. See, permits are only issued to residents, and carry is prohibited where alcohol is served or permitted during parades, so you have to leave it home if you go to Mardi Gras. But I would say don't go to Mardi Gras, and watch it from your window of your motel. Colorado at number 33, 66 points. It edges out Louisiana just a little bit, as Colorado does. Has very few prohibited places listed. Like I said, you can go in schools and public buildings with security screening are really the only restricted areas in Colorado. You can, as I said a while ago, you can go in places that serve alcohol, you just can't drink. So Colorado's not bad, except for Aurora and Denver. Stay away from Aurora and Denver. Minnesota at 32 is 68 points. Minnesota law does not enumerate hardly any prohibited locations. Reciprocity with most other states is very minimal, but use of force statutes are better than average. So that's where it gets its high points. There are no duty to inform law enforcement. Michigan at 31. The best thing about Michigan is its reciprocity. Outside of the Northeast, only California, Illinois, Hawaii, and Oregon refuse to honor Michigan permits. That's pretty awesome there. They only have four states that refuse to honor the permits. Parents dropping their kids off at school can carry legally as long as they stay in their car. That's something in New Mexico. You can carry on school grounds loaded as long as you stay in your car, or the gun stays in your car if you get out. That's one thing where New Mexico or Arizona kind of stinks, is because in Arizona, you cannot drive onto school property with a loaded gun. Technically, you would have to pull over somewhere, unload the gun, go drop the kid off there in front of the door, drive off, pull over again, and load the gun back up again. So, not a good thing. Let's see. Looking at some of the, seeing if I'm missing anything here on the chat room for it. The 007, no. You do not have to change the spring. It depends on the caliber. Your 10 millimeter will shoot 40s just fine, just like it is. Matter of fact, I've got a YouTube video of us doing that. I took a 29, and accuracy was really good. Reliability was 100%. Jason shoots 40s in his all the time, has no problem with it. I had a guy I did a class for in when I was in Luna, cold as hell, right about New Year's time when it was 38 below zero out there. And he did the whole class, everything that we went through. He shot it with a 10 millimeter with a Glock 20, shooting 40 caliber ammunition. It didn't change anything. It runs just fine, just like it is. Hey, Mold Spore, you can come to Arizona too if you want to. We got lots of room down here, lots of room, lots of air, lots of freedom. I mean, there's just a whole lot of reasons to come to Arizona. Number 30, North Carolina, 69 points. Permits can be getting through the county sheriff and are available to residents only. That kind of hurts them a little bit, but they've got good self-defense laws. And they can ban by individual businesses by putting up a sign, but that's the same as quite a few other places. You can't carry in the governor's mansion. And other than that, you're not in too bad a shape there. Nevada at number 29, also 69 points. Nevada doesn't honor too many out-of-state permits. As a matter of fact, they have nixed Arizona here in the last couple of years. And the good thing about Nevada is it's an open carry state. You have to be a little careful in Vegas, especially North Las Vegas. But overall, the state is pretty easy to get around in. Carrying in posted locations in Nevada is not technically against the law, but you could be charged with trespassing. That's the same with Arizona. Texas would be the same way. You can put a sign up. You can take a magic marker and write on a paper plate and say no guns, and it means absolutely nothing because they have state prescribed signs. Arizona and Texas does. Quite a few other states do too. But if you put that up and you ask somebody to leave and they don't, then it's no different than any other trespassing charge. In New Mexico, it doesn't matter if you take lipstick and write it on the front window. If you have anything up there to deliver that message in any manner, then it is illegal for you to carry in there. But signs in New Mexico carry the force of law. Arizona and Texas do not carry the force of law unless they are the state-prescribed signs. Let's see. Oklahoma's pretty good. 71 points. It comes in at number 28. West Virginia at 27 with 72 points. Mostly, let's see, permits in the Mountain State are issued by county sheriffs, and the list of prohibited areas is minimal, mostly schools and public buildings. No non-residents. 26, South Carolina. 25, Missouri. 24, Washington State. Washington State, $7 annually. Non-resident permits are available for the same price. Washington beats Missouri in a tie at 73 points, mainly due to the fact that it's a more reasonable list of prohibited locations. Both of them had, 73 points. 23, Tennessee. After quite a discussion in legislature a few years back, Tennessee allows CCW in bars and restaurants that serve alcohol, but as long as you don't drink. Restaurants can post, however, many in Nashville do. The volunteer state has excellent reciprocity and earns maximum points with their Stand Your Ground statute. Permits are $28.75 a year. Kansas at 22, Iowa at 21, Mississippi at 20. Mississippi gets 10 points for training times, has great reciprocity and good use of force laws. $20 annually for the permits, issued to residents only, but permits from most other states are recognized, so that's kind of a non-issue. 19, South Dakota with 75 points. Pretty hard to beat the price in South Dakota at $2 a year, the permit fee. Nothing wrong with that. Prohibited locations are few, schools, bars, courthouses, and snowmobiles. That's right. No carrying on a snowmobile. Okay, figure that one out. I think the reason that is, Wyoming has laws about carrying loaded gun on snowmobile also. And it's because they take those snowmobiles, get out there in deep snow, and run right up beside elk that are floundering in the snow and shoot them. I mean, there's not having the gun loaded wouldn't keep anybody from doing that if they really wanted to. You run up there and get beside it, and by the time you get the gun out and get it loaded, the elk's only 20 yards away. So this is stupid law, but that's why they do it in Wyoming anyway. Alabama at number 18, no training requirements for the permit in Alabama, $20 a year. Georgia at 17, Idaho 16, 75 points in Idaho. Doesn't say here what the permits cost nowadays. They used to be $5. If you can't get a permit in your state, Idaho will issue a non-resident permit. Idaho actually issues two types of CCW permits. They have a standard and they have an enhanced. If you have the enhanced, that's the one that allows you to carry. A teacher has to have an enhanced if they want to carry on campuses of colleges and universities. So there's rules that can vary from school to school, of course. The state doesn't govern all of it. But other than that, Idaho does pretty cotton-picking well on the list there. Pennsylvania at number 15. Indiana at 14. The great thing about Indiana, at least for the youngsters, is you can get a permit at 18 years old in Indiana. And Indiana does recognize all other permits, and it is recognized in 29 states. It is not recognized in New Mexico or Arizona. New Mexico, I believe, will honor it if you are over 21. And I'm not sure that Arizona does at all. But let's see here. Mountain shooter, I think we was having sound problems at the beginning there. What you need to do is get a hold of Jason for your M1A scope mount questions. He's got, I know he has at least two M1As, and I know he has a scope on one. I mean, it's a really, really good, solid, rugged mount, but I have no idea who makes it. So if you can get a hold of Jason, he would he'd be the one to ask. He'd be the one to ask just about any question that you have on M1A if you have any. He's really studied up on it, become quite the cotton picking expert on that. So let's see. Let me look down through here and see what all else is going on in the chat room here. All right, let's move on here. Indiana, Montana, number 13, 78 points. Let's see. Negatives in Montana are it doesn't allow CCW in banks or financial institutions. That sucks. Bad news when you're a small business owner making cash deposits. You have to go to the ATM or drive-through window or night deposit, I guess. Places where alcohol is sold for on-premises consumption, such as bars and restaurants, are also a no-go. But they're only $12.50 a year. So Montana is certainly not as good as it could be. It's one thing about New Mexico and Arizona I like. There are no restrictions whatsoever for carrying in banks unless the individual bank puts up a sign. Texas at number 12. That 78 points. Let's see. It's hard to complain too much about their concealed carry laws. Their open carry laws, however, stink. But other than that, permits a little higher than some of the other states at $40 for the, renewals are $40 cheaper than the initial license. I don't remember what the initial license was. When I was going to get one, I believe it was $140. But Queso might be able to answer that on the chat room there. It seemed like they were $140, but that was back in 2001 or 2002, somewhere in there when I was looking at that. Gun-free zones are about average in Texas. Property owners can post signs. You don't have to be a Texan, and non-residents get the same permits as residents do. Kentucky at number 11, Virginia at number 10, Wisconsin. You know, that's funny about Wisconsin, too. They come out, they really come out swinging. They became the 49th state. They was one of the last two to adopt concealed carry laws, and they fought it hook, line, and, you know, much as they could there. But when they did, it's a damn good law. Wisconsin is excellent. There ain't much wrong with Wisconsin. 78 points. And they did manage. Now, of course, the governor was going to veto it. And he's an anti-gun puke, Governor Doyle. But now the people out there managed to get this done. They did not get it done by sitting around behind a computer monitor and bitching. If you want to change things in your state, you need to get up off of that ass and go out and get something done. You can't sit around and hope. You have to try a little bit. And Wisconsin did. They tried hard. And they got enough votes there to override the veto, which is pretty respectable. Once Wisconsin did join the ranks of the legally armed, they started out with an outstanding law right off the bat. Decent reciprocity, good castle doctrine, reasonable training requirements, pretty cheap fees. The list of prohibited locations, government-type facilities and parking lots of those locations. Government-type facilities, but the parking lots are exempt from the prohibitions. So, not bad if you want to go to Wisconsin. New Hampshire at number 8. Vermont at number 7. Vermont was the first and only constitutional carry state for a long, 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 long time. And then came, Alaska was the next one after that. And then I believe it was Arizona and then Wyoming to have constitutional carry. Vermont is the only state that allowed handguns to be carried. Let's see, it says for decades. I guess if I had just read this, I could have saved all that. For decades, Vermont was the only state that allowed handguns to be carried concealed without a permit. The bad thing about Vermont, not having the thing that we always didn't like about Vermont, or the people of Vermont didn't like it, because there was no, since there was no permit system, they were required to get a permit somewhere else so that they could carry. A lot of them get Florida permits so that they could carry in other states. Now, Alaska, being the next constitutional carry state, is they retained their permit system so that you could go ahead and get a permit if you wanted to, so that you could go, so that you could, you know, your permit could be honored in other states, but you didn't require one to stay in the state. And that's what I tell all my concealed carry people is, why wouldn't you get one? If you travel at all, even if you don't need one in your state, if you travel at all, why not? Why wouldn't you get one? Mountain Shooter, yeah, he is generally, Jason is generally out at the ranch. If, I'm sure that he wouldn't mind at all. If you want to message me on Facebook or something, I can get you a phone number, an email address or something so that you can get a hold of him. Doc, I hope Alex is doing well. No real update, you say, so I guess no news is good news. Hopefully, as long as he's not losing ground, well, we're hoping that this will all go well here for him. Let's see, what else we got going on in the chat room? Yeah, well, DeTinker, the very fact that open carry was in effect, strangely enough, kind of a funny story, but since open carry was in effect, that was kind of what helped get your concealed carry law passed. Because if you remember, there was an incident there where a guy was open carrying, and he's saying that he would have carried concealed if he could have, and someone come up behind him, took his gun away from him, and robbed him with his own gun. Now, he didn't shoot him, but he still robbed him with his own gun. And that was one of the things that helped get Wisconsin their concealed carry law. And that makes sense. You know, open carry is not for everybody. If you're not, you have to adopt a completely different attitude. You can't just strap it on and say, okay, fine, I'm going to go do everything that I do all the time with complete, utter disregard for the gun on my hip. This is something that you have to pay attention to constantly. Constantly. And you have to be exceedingly aware of where people are that you can't allow them to get within charging distance of you if you're not paying attention. You have to learn to keep that elbow on that gun all the time if there are people around. You can't be reaching across the counter or leaning across something and exposing that gun to people. I carry 100% of the time. Well, except at church and a couple of very, very few other. I carry 100% of the time open carry. But you know, I am horribly aware of everything that goes on around me, and it's become second nature now. It's not anything that I have to do different. But I'm going to tell you, I don't recommend it for everybody. It is definitely not for everybody. Because if you, I see way too many people that do that strictly for no other reason than to make a political point, and a lot of them shouldn't own guns at all, much less be carrying one out in the open. So, you know, it's not, definitely not for the conditioned white people at all. I don't know that there's a lot of practical disadvantages. There may be a few, but, you know, for every disadvantage you can come up with, I'll bet you I can come up with an advantage for it, Doc. What people usually say is, you know, the element of surprise and all that kind of stuff. But you know, we could probably argue about that all day long. North Dakota at number 6, 80 points. Not only is North Dakota, permits are issued within 30 days to both residents and non-residents. And North Dakota does, okay. Florida at number 5. We all know Florida was the one that started the shall issue. They were the first state back in 87 to have what they called the shall issue law. And boy, they just started falling down by the numbers after that. To where now there's 34, 36 states, something like that now, that are shall issue. Wyoming at number 4, 83 points. They are a semi-constitutional carry for residents only. Let's see. Wyoming permits issued by the Attorney General's office have broad reciprocity. List of prohibited locations is short. Public buildings, schools, and bars. Yeah, I can do that right now. Okay. Well, before we come back and finish up with the last three, I have some responsibilities that I must take care of here right quick. So I'm going to leave you with, I'm not leaving you, I'm just taking a little break here for a minute. Crying out loud, don't jump all over me here. Let's see. I haven't played this for a long time. Let's do this, and I'll be back in a minute. I'll be back in a minute.
I'll be back.
Encourage everybody to get out and get vocal. We have not nearly enough people out there. Such a very small few of us that really go out and make any noise. Now, sometimes we'll get out when there's other people that do it, but a lot of us are unwilling to get out and do it on our own, you know, either as a small group or as individuals, because we just don't want to be singled out. We don't want to accept the fact that there might be, maybe, possibly, some small repercussions for doing this. If there's going to be repercussions, make sure that you're right about what you do, and repercussions be damned. Just deal with it. Life is pretty short, ladies and gentlemen. We have a finite amount of time here to enjoy our life on this earth. We have an eternity to live with what we did during this time that we were on this earth. Now, if you think about, let me see if we can put this in perspective here. Take a whole ball, a whole roll of brand new, unopened roll of cotton string, and unroll that ball all the way out to the end, and then take a straight pen, or take your ink pen and make a little dot somewhere in the middle of that. That little dot represents the time that you're going to be on this earth. That whole roll of string, that little dot represents how long you're going to be here. And that string, all the rest of that, represents how long you're going to be somewhere else. And you're going to have that amount of time to think about how you conducted yourself during that finite time period. And if you look at it in that respect, you say, well, I don't want anybody to holler at me. I don't want anybody to get mad. I don't want it to affect my social life. I don't want to, people at church to not sit by me because I've done this. Well, what matters is you're right. What matters is can you stand when this is over with, when your life here is done, can you stand upright with your shoulders back and your head high in front of your Heavenly Father and say, I did everything that I could do to save my country, or to save my family, to spread the gospel, to do whatever it is that you did on this earth. I don't want to have to walk up there with shoulders slumped forward and head down and say, you know, I was just scared. I was just too lazy. I just didn't want my friends to think of me as a radical or something. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I ain't gonna cut it. You've got a certain amount of time to make sure that your life is gonna be squared away when you leave here. Now, this isn't a Sunday school class, but this is the way I look at how I conduct myself on this earth. Believe you me, in my past, there's been some things I'm definitely gonna have to answer for. But from here on out, I'm gonna try to make up for some of those things and see if I can redeem myself in front of my Redeemer, and see if I can live for eternity
comfortably without worrying all that time about what I should have done or could have done. Now, what you should have done or could have done may not always be exactly what someone else thinks you should have done or could have done. It is not necessarily what matters. Is what you believe in your heart. What you can, not looking past the fear or the inconvenience or the effort that you're going to have to put into it, the money that you may spend, looking past that, you know in your heart is right. No one can really believe in their heart that you could, that sitting back and watching somebody else do everything for your benefit is right. Now, they may say, if you ask them or in their private conversation, they'll say, well, you know, somebody's got to do it. That's a problem I have. And anybody that's listened to this show for any length of time, I've said over the years many, many times, I hate it when somebody says somebody ought to do something. Who in the hell are you? How do you shave in the morning? How do you put on your makeup? How do you look in the mirror and nobody's there? Are you somebody? If you're somebody, then how about let's get off that ass and go out there and act like you're somebody. We are all somebodies, and you're gonna want to think you're somebody when you go up to stand before your Heavenly Father on Judgment Day. You're gonna sure want to think you're somebody. Well, now would be a good time to start proving that. Now would be a good time to start on that difficult journey. Now, nobody here wants to die. The question is, do we love our country and our family and our Creator enough to be willing to if we have to? If that's what it comes to help save everything, then we have to be willing to ask ourselves and answer honestly, are you willing to do that? Now, being willing to and wanting to are two totally different things. Being willing to do it makes you a very formidable foe, a very formidable enemy. Not wanting to do it, not wanting to die, makes you extremely effective. Formidable, fierce, but effective because we don't want to die. We're going to use everything in our power not to, but if we must, to further the cause, to be able to stand up and be proud of what we've done and respectful when that time comes, then it's just what we have to do, I reckon. And don't think that I haven't spent many, many, many hours pondering on this question. You know, there's people out there that says, I've got kids. I've got kids and I want to watch them finish growing up. I want to watch them get married and have kids. But in order for them to be able to do that in a free country, there may come a time when some of us might have to, well, there will come a time when some of us will have to put on our big boy panties and get out there and take the bull by the horns and make some gigantic effort to save this country.
Welcome back to the shooting bench.
Well, you didn't get dressed up for nothing.
All right, let's finish this up here. We just did number four. We're down to the last three. Alaska at number three. Alaska, as I said, was the second one to adopt constitutional carry and retain their permit system for people that wanted to continue to be able to go to other states, you know, to get reciprocity in other states. I'm trying to do two things here at once and not having any luck with either one of them. Hang on a minute here. I just got to fix something real quick. I'm trying to get too many electronical devices going here at one time. There we go. All right. All right, we're back in business now. Let's see. Alaska, number two, Utah. Now, Utah's got 85 points. And Utah is pretty good. I've got a little bit of problem with Utah being a non-traditional open carry state. You have to have a permit to carry openly loaded in Utah. But Utah is very much like or similar to New Mexico. You can carry openly unloaded, which and it's a little better than New Mexico because they have defined their loaded and unloaded. We already talked about that a while ago. So at 85 points, the Utah gets the highest score of any state that requires permits, and they're $10 a year is what it averages out to. Renewals are less than that, at averaging $3 a year. The carry is prohibited in secure locations, but that is a very short list and requires posted notice. Other than that, you can carry just about anywhere in Utah with a permit. You can carry quite a few places in Utah without one because of that unloaded stipulation. And wouldn't you know it, surprise, 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 again, Arizona's at number one. 93 points. They get 25 for permit issuance, 18 for reciprocity, 10 for training time. Application fee, 5. Castle Doctrine, 10. The best state gun owners in 2014, they get another 10 because they were number one there, too. Duty to inform, 5. Preemption, 5. Issued to non-residents, 5, because we, those are all the max numbers there. The and evidently being this close to California, we haven't, their laws haven't rubbed off on us too much yet, so we're hoping that continues. So, the not much we can say about Arizona that we haven't already said. It's with the exception of just a very few places. Now, I'll tell you a couple things about Arizona that doesn't make any sense, though. Not only does it not make any sense, it's just downright stupid. And that is that you can carry with a permit. You cannot carry on a wildlife conservation area. So if you're going out there to photograph the yellow-bellied sapsucker and a mountain lion comes, you're just going to have to see if you can outrun it, I guess. Yeah, which is ridiculous to me. Absolutely ridiculous. You can't carry even in the parking lot of a correctional facility. And I think that's kind of dumb, but I mean, it's, I guess I can see their point, but I still not, don't approve of it. But otherwise, if it's not a state approved sign, now the thing is if you go into a government building or a, if you go into a government building or a public building, you know, something owned and operated by the city or the state or whatever, they are required to have a lockbox there for you to put your gun in while you're there. Required by statute that they have a secure place to put your gun. Problem with that is, though, there is no penalties for it if you don't do it. So you can go in some places and say, well, but you're supposed to have a lockbox. Well, we don't. So what do? You can't turn them in. You can turn them in. They can say, well, you have to have a lockbox. And then they can just go on about their business and never get one because there are no penalties for it. How dumb is it to make a law, go to all that trouble to get that passed, and then not have any ways to back it up? I thought that was crazy. Anyway, during the last break, I went out there and my middle oldest daughter. Mountain shooter, it's a good question. Let's go ahead and throw that in there while you're thinking about it there. National Parks and National Monuments on February 22nd of 2009. Obama signed into law the allowing you to carry a gun in a national park or national monument as long as you're obeying the laws of the state that the national park or national monument is in. So in Grand Canyon, you have very few restrictions. Now, keep in mind, I've said this many times, and it always bears repeating, that doesn't change the fact that you cannot carry in federally owned or operated buildings. So you still can't go in the visitor center. Technically, you can't even go in one of the bathrooms that's halfway down the hill in the Grand Canyon or whatever. Now, the stipulation there is you cannot carry in buildings owned by the federal government when there are employees present. So technically, you could carry in the bathroom as long as there was not an employee in there. Now, if one of the park rangers stops in there to take a leak, then you're going to be committing a felony. That's the way that works. But as long as you, so obviously you're going to have a harder time carrying in Yosemite National Park, Niagara Falls, but Yellowstone, no problem. Grand Canyon, Chaco Canyon, Mesa Verde, Mammoth Caves, you know, all of those, a whole bunch of them there, you are perfectly okay as long as you're obeying the laws of the state that the national park or national monument was in. Now, during the last break, one of the things my oldest middle daughter there is 007, that is exactly the case. And that's the big thing that people are using, saying, oh yeah, well you had more restrictions when Bush was president because Obama made it easier for you. Well, the only reason he did is because he had a whole bunch of stuff in that bill that he had to have passed. I can't imagine how it must have irked him to sign that. He didn't do it because he was our friend. As soon as he did, everybody said, oh, see, I told you. I told you, Obama's good, good man. Yes, sirree, Bob. He's a good guy. He's on our side. Look what he did. I'll guarantee you, he gritted his teeth to the point that they were ground off flat having to sign that. But nevertheless, whatever it took, we got it signed. So it's awesome. Since 1970-something, it has been where we cannot carry in national parks and national monuments. And now you can in some cases. Let me start this story again for the third time here. The she's telling me about how she went into Jiffy Lube get her oil changed, and it come time, you know, the guy ahead of her went and paid and checked out and got his car and left, and so when she went up there to pay to get her car out of there, she said the guy behind the counter said, you know, the guy that was here before you said, I forgot the whole story, but anyway, he said he was uncomfortable with the fact that you're carrying a gun. Ching, ching! Man card revoked right there. When you are uncomfortable because a woman open carries a gun, then you are a certified USD-approved 14-carat wuss. Unbelievable. But the guy at Jiffy Lube said, well, this is Arizona, and if it's okay with Arizona, it's okay with us. And so that's we just go by the laws of the state that we're in. So please feel free to use Jiffy Lube when you want to go to get your oil changed. And Amy's had a couple of instances here where one gal said, is it really necessary that you carry a gun? And she said, well, it could be. And the old gal said, well, we're not in New York. We're in Sholo, Arizona. You're missing something there, honey. You're not understanding what needs to happen here. But then they had another one. She was down at Ace Hardware here about a year ago. And it wasn't even a year ago. And the guy was backing out, and she was getting ready to get in her car, and she said, and the guy said, excuse me, ma'am. And she thought, okay, well, here we go. And he said, you know, I just want to say thank you for carrying a gun. He said, I love it to see it. I love seeing a woman carrying a gun. I carry one. My wife carries one. Both my daughters carry one. And thank you very much for doing that. So that made her day. And I'll tell you one more. When I was in Farmington, there's a 007 knows where TJ's Diner is. Excellent place to eat. I used to love to go in there. And me and Amy and Kelly walked in there one morning for breakfast. And we walked by. The lady didn't say anything to us. She didn't get our attention. She didn't say it for our benefit. The little girl said, Mommy, that man has a gun. And that lady never missed a beat. She didn't hesitate for a second. She said, we should thank him. He said, he's got a gun in case a bad guy comes, and we know there's somebody here to protect us. Now, I had a little bit of problem with that because she should have one to protect her own little girl. But nevertheless, she didn't miss a lick, and I thought that was excellent. So. Anyway... All right, well, we're getting pretty close to quitting time here, so I think I'm going to start sidling over here towards the edge of the chair closest to the door and get ready to get out of here and shut down the world-famous shooting bench studio here. And remind everybody again, check our schedule at ShotsRanch.com. Look at some of the classes that we're doing off-campus, California, New Mexico, Utah, and 007, your buddy is working on getting some folks together for a Glock Armorers class up there, so if you know some people that'd like to get in on that, and also the 8-hour disaster preparedness seminar. Now, that's not carved in stone. We don't have to do that. That's just the ones that first came to mind, so we're not having to go find a place to shoot or anything. So if you can get some other people together, if you'd like to do one of the other classes or something, we can put together just about anything that you want. So with all that being said, I think I'm going to dash on out of here. We'll see you guys tomorrow night for Liberty Lounge. I should be... Sound like we had a wreck in there. I should be on live. I'm not positive yet, but I should be. So, anyway, I'm getting out of here. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Heaven will travel, reach the car of a man. A night without armor in a savage land. His master gun for hire heeds the calling.
Okay, that about wraps it up for another PM edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me every Thursday night for 2 hours of 99 and 44 100% pure gun talk. Good night.
A chest knight of silver is his badge of trust. There are campfire legends that the flames men spin.